listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And with us today are Ron Chmielis, columnist with the Springfield Republican, and Mike Dobbs, managing editor with the Reminder Newspapers. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's been a lot of conversation this week on Beacon Hill and elsewhere after the mass shooting in Las Vegas. One bill introduced would ban bump stocks, a device that can make semi-automatic weapons simulate automatic ones. And Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker was clear on how he felt about the legislation.
That should be outlawed, and if that were to pass tomorrow, we would sign it.
Baker has also said the state has some of the strictest and best gun laws in the country. Some, he says, that should be adopted by the federal government. Ron, is there more state lawmakers can do on gun control and gun laws?
Well, I think there's a lot more the national government can do, starting with this legislation they're talking about, which seems to have some bipartisan support. This does seem to cross the usual boundaries. I think Massachusetts has done a good job. I'm not sure we need more in Massachusetts, but as you know, the problem is not really just here.
Mike?
Well, as long as we have a border with Vermont, and in Vermont people can buy a gun, they can put it in their car, and they can bring it down to Massachusetts, and they can sell it or trade it, which is happening all the time. Just ask any local police department. You know, we're going to have a problem with these things. I'm all in favor of them outlining this technology that would turn guns into automatic weapons. I guess my question is how many of those bump stocks already exist in Massachusetts, and would they be legally obtained in Vermont, for instance?
There is even word going along with kind of with what you said, Mike, that the Las Vegas shooter was looking into sites around Boston, including Fenway Park. How about from the public safety perspective? Is there more that officials can do to improve their odds at stopping a similar incident?
You know, I actually was thinking about this when my wife and I went to the Big E last week. I was actually thinking about and they do screen backpacks and purses and stuff at the Big E. But, you know, you wonder if that is enough. If some lunatic wanted to actually do harm at an event like that, could they get their weapons inside?
Ron?
Well, I think more and more we're starting to look at whether or not this is, as Mike mentioned, a state-by-state issue or a national issue. And whenever you talk about the federal government taking more control, all the states' rights activists are waving the Constitution around. But, you know, the bottom line is we cannot guarantee that something like this can't happen. All we can do is the best we can. And it's pretty clear to me that we're not, as a nation, doing the best we can. But I do think looking at this more as a national issue as opposed to 50 different state issues, I think that's the right step in the right direction.
This week, prosecutors declined to press charges against two juveniles who left a noose on the Amherst College football field. A deputy district attorney says she's convinced the pair didn't know what the noose represents, a symbol of racially motivated lynchings. Lindsay Turner, a leader of the Black Student Union at Amherst College, doesn't agree with the decision.
I believe that it is exactly this type of ruling that perpetuates a standard of acceptability pertaining to acts of racial intimidation, particularly anti-Black racial intimidation. When the state fails to adequately discipline the perpetuators of racial hatred, these perpetuators are emboldened and do not grasp the seriousness of their action.
Mike, did prosecutors make the right call here?
Honestly, it's difficult for me to say yes or no without knowing what they know. However, it's difficult for me to believe that a pair of young teens in Amherst don't understand what the meaning of a noose is. And leaving it on the football field of Amherst College, it's hard for me to believe that they weren't sending some sort of message.
Ron, the juveniles, both described as being in their early teens, are going to write letters of apology to Amherst College and its community for their actions. And the college's president says the incident was, quote, offensive and anxiety-producing. Is writing a letter enough?
No, it's not enough. I mean, it's better than nothing, but it is nothing, actually. I mean, again, as Mike said, I don't know these teens. We don't know if their apology will have any sincerity to it. You would like to think so. But, you know, it reminds me of the case, and I believe it was Brockton, where the Parks Commissioner put on his Facebook page, Dance Monkey Dance, about the NFL players. And then he said, I didn't know people would take that racially. I mean, what world does he live in? What world do these kids live in? I can understand people being very upset at the absence of any real punishment other than a letter.
Taking a look at an economic development issue, as Amazon continues to look for a second home for its headquarters, officials in Western Mass think the online retail giant should come here. The Springfield City Council voted on a resolution to support a regional approach to making a bid, and some economic development officials are backing an effort by Enfield, Connecticut to lure the company, which they say will also help Western Mass right over the border. So, Ron, Any chance that Amazon could come here and Western Mass could beat out Boston or other candidates?
Well, I guess there's a chance. I don't know if I would give it very good odds. But it does point out Massachusetts and Connecticut seem to be betwixt and between as to whether to compete against one another or work together for the greater good. And there seems to be more of a shift, other than the casino movement, to work together. Maybe this is an opportunity to do that. But still, they look at Boston. Boston's the big guy here, and that would be a tough obstacle to overcome.
Mike, what about Ron's point about both sides of the Mass-Connecticut border trying to work together to lure something like this?
Well, I think that that's a very reasonable approach. We have one advantage, and when I say we, I would say Northern Connecticut and Western Massachusetts, and that advantage is there is property for sale and can be developed, and that property is going to be at a price that is far below something akin to metropolitan Boston. And yet, we are close. I mean, our advantage is Springfield, Hartford is not only offering their own amenities, we're within shot of New York City, we're in shot of Boston. It's a great place for some place like this to go. But whether or not we get it, who knows?
Massachusetts transportation officials this week rolled out a new vehicle inspection system, and it's been a bumpy road so far. Many stations Monday weren't ready to go when it started, and others have had problems with it, crashing or not even working properly. And officials at the Massachusetts Department of Transportation haven't been willing to comment to us about all of this. Mike, are you surprised that this system isn't working properly, and should officials have seen this coming?
Well, I'm thankful. I'm thankful because I just got my car inspected in August, so I obviously dodged this bullet big time. You know, I'll just say, as a journalist, one of the least responsive agencies to press inquiries is MassDOT. They don't like to talk to any of us, and I think they're, you know, they fear that we're going to ask some embarrassing questions. This is very embarrassing for them. This should never have happened.
Ron, what about the garages who are losing business and commissions on these inspections because of the system not working properly?
I have a great deal of sympathy. I know a couple of these people. I've had many cars that have needed work, and these are not big-time operators. These margins matter a lot to them, and to make it not only harder for them and more complicated, but less profitable is unfair. I do think MassDOT has some explaining to do and possibly some payback to these people. I don't know if they'll do it, but I have great sympathy for these small business owners.
Ron Chmielewicz of the Springfield Republican and Mike Dobbs with the Reminder Newspapers. Thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
And thank you, our listeners, for being with us for the Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time wherever you get your podcasts or at nepr.net/podcast. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.